I mean, who am I? So it was like, what? Am I for real? Where is Glee and where did you take her? Hey there, Zesties. You're listening to the Gleeful Talk Show, where we share zesty stories to cultivate the happiness and hero within and out. If you're new to this podcast, welcome. We talk about personal experiences, pop culture, and societal impacts. Please don't forget to follow and rate this podcast wherever you're listening right now, or go to gleefultalkshow.com. Please follow me on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, and YouTube. That's at Gleeful Talk Show. I also recently launched my blog. That's theambivertlife.com. If you're keen on following me outside of this podcast, I talk about beauty, wellness, and travels at the Ambivert Life. So, it's been a while. I've been off for a few weeks and just came back from vacation in Europe. So, today's episode is a roundup of my travels and a lot of my learnings and thoughts that I've pondered upon during those times. So, where did we go? We landed in Vienna and we caught up with my relatives there. Vienna is such a beautiful place and will always have a special place in my heart. I don't know why, but I guess mainly because I have family there and my aunt is there. I have a cousin there and I have my aunt's friends there as well, whom I call the aunties of Europe. They're quite hip, actually. And then whenever we land in Vienna, we always land in Vienna ever since we've been going to Europe, I feel at home and at ease. And maybe because of my family over that side of the world. One thing that you should know, which I kind of learned the hard way and a little bit embarrassing way, was that even though Austria speaks German, they are not Germans and are very different from Germans. So the only similarity with them is their language. That's all. So that's a little tip for you. And then going to Vienna from Brisbane is a 24-hour flight. Really, it takes a day, I feel. That's 16 hours to Doha plus 2 hours connection, then 6 hours from Doha to Vienna. So that's a long way. And if you're traveling economy, so you better brace yourself up. And then that's why it's really challenging to fly to Europe from the land down under. And you know what? It was almost a full flight as well. I think it might have been a full flight. But that's how people are traveling like crazy nowadays. And not to mention the shortage of flight crew and ground staff. So fewer flights are up there on the air right now. And also with the fuel because of the war, etc. So it's quite a challenging time in the airline industry, I feel. And then coupled with the people now really wanting to travel because of COVID. So it has a domino effect. So the airports were quite busy and was quite stressful traveling, actually. And then we had to wear a face mask going to Europe. But spoiler alert, going back to Australia, you don't need a face mask. And I have been longing to go on a personal holiday since 2019. And that was the last time I was in Europe too. And some of you might know, life have been extremely rocky since the start of 2020 up until now. Actually, with my parents' lives and health at risk. Although I've been out of Australia in 2020 and 2022 visiting family in the Philippines, it was not for fun and it was not a fun trip because it wasn't for leisure, but it was, you know, visiting family because they were sick, etc. So those 3 years were maybe one of the hardest period in my life. So I badly needed a vacation. And I'm glad I was able to have one. Otherwise, I might go crazy. And as of this recording, I have arrived home for 2 weeks now. And I couldn't record in the first week that I arrived because my voice was totally not there. Or maybe you couldn't even recognize me because, spoiler alert again, I got sick. So I would highly encourage you Zesties to go on vacation, even for 3 to 5 days at least. One day is too little, and may I remind you that traveling can improve your mental well-being, or does improve your mental well-being. And not only does research show this, but anyone who have experienced taking a long break from their day-to-day life can definitely attest to this. But to what extent? I'll describe them as we go along. So, continuing from Vienna, we traveled by train to Hungary. So, I've been to Hungary, maybe that was my fourth time, but that was my first time traveling via train. So, that's the beauty of Europe, right? You can travel by train almost anywhere else in between countries. There is a silent area or silent cabin where you should be silent and not be on your phone, etc. And those types of cabins that are ideal for families with kids, as kids might be noisy. I like that there are designated areas for different things, and I wish it could have been applied in the Philippines, but I don't know, applied in the jeepney or something. But we've met with family and friends in Hungary and went to Lyon, France. I felt that this was a real part of the travel, as starting from Lyon onwards, I haven't been to any of those places I've went to. Since there's no direct flight from Budapest to Lyon, we had to stop over to Munich and then Lyon. It was quite funny at the airport, actually, because it wasn't apparent where the exit was. And it wasn't only us that had a hard time finding it. Other people found it hard to find as well, which is so funny. Like, we spent, I don't know how many minutes just to go to and fro which areas were the exit. So anyway, why Lyon? So Lyon is recognized for its cuisine and gastronomy, as well as historical and architectural landmarks. For us, we went there for the food. And for more details on which restaurants, please visit my blog, theambivertlife.com. Wow, what a promotion. At the start of the trip, I felt really excited and just open to see what's in store for me in the different places and food that we will be going and tasting. And I really thought that this is it, Pancit. Finally, after 3 years, I can go on holiday. I felt quite drained from the daily life of an office worker, and even though I did have mini resets, going to some other places in Queensland cities like Cairns, having a long holiday feels way different, especially when you go out of the country. In my first week in Europe, I felt really refreshed, like someone who's been inside the house for a long time and just got out to get some fresh air. That's how refreshed I felt. So from Lyon, we went to Geneva, Switzerland. It's beautiful again, really beautiful, but very expensive. Geneva is the French side of the country. Then we went to Lucerne, which is the German side, and you can definitely see the stark differences between the cities based on their influences. Then to cap off our Swiss trip, we ended up at Locarno, which is the Italian side of the country. I noticed that in Google Maps, actually, they renamed the locations to its English names. And why? So Lucerne became Lucerne with a C and an E. And I felt that it should have been just stayed the same because it is a name of a city. And why does the English language change the name of the place? And it's already beautiful as it is. To me, the Lucerne name sounds more appropriate for the place. And then our second week was the transition from Switzerland to Italy. We went to a day spa at Lucerne, which has stunning, stunning views. And again, I'll be sharing the photos on my blog and Instagram if you're interested. And what I realized at that time was Switzerland is very lucky with its landscape. But they didn't stop at being lucky. They made the most out of the marvelous lands that they were blessed with. It was extremely stunning, to the point that I said to myself, if heaven is a place on earth, then it's Switzerland. The pool was overlooking this marvelous landscape with snow-capped mountains, and the weather was cold outside, but the waters were lukewarm, making it very relaxing. I guess my Filipino body wasn't used to it, so I actually got sick after it. It's not COVID, guys, but just the weather and the situation we were in there. So after Luzerne, we went to Locarno, then Italy. First stop in Italy was Florence. Italy was actually the educational side of our trip. I like going to museums and marvel at the history and the art and those kinds of things. I know some people might find it very, very boring, but that's how I like it. And I always wondered how the people in the earlier days were able to carve out beautiful and huge structures like the David, as well as how they were able to build the Colosseum. So I had pondered a lot from place to place, and I wondered why my Filipino ancestors were not able to build such structures like museums. But I guess maybe they were colonized, then they hadn't had the chance to be great, you know? So this is purely opinion, and I'm not a master of history, but these things make me wonder, if history would have been different, would racism be the other way around? So in Italy, where we booked a museum tour with a tour guide, the tour guide asked the group where we were from. So some were from America, from Singapore, from Canada, Lithuania, Brazil, and I didn't say anything because I don't know whether I should say Australia or Philippines. I feel that they would be surprised that I would say I'm from Australia and I didn't have the accent, and certainly I don't look like the typical Aussie, you see. So I faced that dilemma because if I would have to say that I'm from Australia, then I have to explain the story, you know. So even in airports and planes too, like I had a lady sitting beside me when we were en route to Singapore to get to Australia. Man, that was one hell of a ride going home. And then she asked me where I was from. So in the end, I said that I live in Australia, but I'm originally from the Philippines. So then she talked about wanting to go to the Philippines and so on. And when I was traveling all around Europe, I was also chatting with my aunt in Vienna, who has lived there for more than 30 years. She usually calls family in the Philippines like every day. So in the train, she was called out by an Austrian lady who told her, quote, "I am not interested in your language, blah, blah, blah." And she told the lady, "Why you didn't call out the others who were also chattering in the train?" So as you see, racism is everywhere. And I know that it's going to be very hard to eliminate racism as it's already been in our subconscious from centuries old. But if we don't start calling out people for being racist, so we won't be a step closer to the day that there wouldn't be any racism. So moving on, we were traveling to different places, and although I was enjoying and felt really privileged to be able to do so, I realized that I missed home. Australia, my new home. Especially when I heard that story from my aunt. I used to think that maybe I chose the wrong country to settle in because I could have settled somewhere in Europe, even though it's a bit harder to achieve, but doable. Because Australia is so far away from the world, and I initially felt isolated and so far away from everyone, and also our weather here is different from all other places in the Northern Hemisphere, which is most of the countries in the world are located in. And there is a stark contrast when I was in Dubai, which was the middle of everything. I can get any type of food at a reasonable price. But in Australia, it's different. The choices of food are not as diverse as in Dubai. So things like that. And not to mention the difference in medical processes where you have to book a GP first to get a referral to go to a specialist. Those were just some minor stuff that I needed to get adjusted to, so nothing really major. But after this trip, I realized settling in Australia was the best decision. Although I had to adjust to the ways of living here, it was not as extreme. The people here are nice too, and same with any other place, there will be racists and rude people, but that's wherever you are in the world. It's not that I'm accepting racism, but that's just the reality, right? There are racists everywhere, and it's a millennium-old way of thinking with ancestral origins. So I think it's difficult for humans to get rid of it completely, although I'm seeing progress. And of course, racism, like, people always think that immigrants are, you know, making the place worse, but there are also different types of immigrants, right? So that's just my two cents. Oh, and by the way, whenever we travel, I just let my husband do the accounting and the finances. So he always ends up to be the one paying the food and the hotel. Well, optically. And then we use one travel bank card for that trip. So again, he always ends up being the person or the contact person who pays, but in reality, it's a shared one. And I realized this almost at the end of the trip that I wanted to do a social experiment where I will be the one paying the food and all the hotel bookings. The hotel will be under my name and so on. And how would the people think? Because as you know, racism sometimes springs in the optics, right? A white guy or a white husband paying for everything while the Asian girl or Asian wife just sits there and doesn't pay or doesn't have any money or just doesn't speak English or something like that. So, which isn't always the case, especially for us. So I've came up with this idea that on the next trip, all of the bookings will be under my name and I would be the one paying optically. I wanted to mess with other people's stereotypes, you know, so watch out for my experience on that soon, given the opportunity of traveling again. And although we did it in Italy, actually, where I paid for lunch, but it wasn't as gratifying as it would have been if we did it in all of the hotels and places we went to. And I would be the contact person, etc. So it wasn't that gratifying, but that was quite fun actually when we tried it once. But the thing is, it could go both ways as well, right? Like, optically, I would look like I've been enslaved and doing all the hard work. So I don't know. You can't win with these people, can you? But it would be a fun experiment to try next time. The trip was so exhausting that I felt I needed a vacation from my vacation because I got sick in Italy, and not COVID, of course, but because of that Switzerland escapade and weather, I got so tired and weary that I missed home. And another thing that I realized is that I didn't really seize the opportunities and bathe in the blessings that I had in my surroundings here in Australia because I was too engrossed with all the happenings in my family in the Philippines that I didn't take a closer look at my surroundings here. It's like I'm in Australia, but not really, you know? And imagine I've been doing that for 3 years. So yeah, that was a profound realization. And after Italy, I was itching to go back home, but because of the unique circumstances that we had, we weren't able to get a direct flight, which was so frustrating. But I guess that's expected of that unique circumstance. To rub salt to the wound, anywhere in Europe, there wasn't a direct flight to Australia for the day that we planned to go. Again, it was a unique circumstance, and let's just say we didn't buy a return trip and we made it on the spot. I know, stupid, but not really. It was just really a unique circumstance, which I can't really describe. But anyway, it was so challenging that from Rome, we had to go to Munich, stay for 5 hours, go to Singapore, stay for a day, and return to Brisbane through Sydney. The transition from Sydney was 2 hours only, and since we came from an international flight, we had to line up at the immigration, move our luggages from the international to the domestic side of the airport, and ride an airport bus, all in less than 2 hours. And not to mention that Australia has very strict biosecurity, so it's a good thing at least that we didn't go to any farm or something, because you have to go to a different process for it. So if you remember the Amber Heard case about the dogs that they went to Australia and etc. So, and then they've hidden the dog. So it's a really tight biosecurity here, and everyone should respect that. And since we came from an international flight, we had to line up at the immigration. That was extremely stressful. I felt we almost didn't make it in time because we actually had to run, because the bus that's gonna take us from the international to the domestic side arrived quite late. Anyway, we arrived in Brisbane and basically we spent 3 days just to get home. I really felt the sigh of relief. Home at last. And 2 weeks ago, I was itching to stay away from it. So yes, a lot of realizations on this travel. And actually, when we arrived, I felt that I had enough of traveling to Europe. I mean, who am I? Who would have enough of traveling to Europe unless you're from there, you know? So it was like, what? Am I for real? Where is Glee and where did you take her? I guess my breaking point was when I was in Italy. Italy is really beautiful, loads of history around it, art, delicious food, but it was extremely touristy. So it wasn't a truly relaxing trip. It was more of an educational tour, if you know what I mean. Because we went to museums and historical spots like the Colosseum, which was actually the point of the trip. But that schedule was so hectic, coupled by being so sick, that I wasn't able to enjoy it as much as I can because of those circumstances again. So it wasn't as enjoyable, albeit memorable. And I felt that I had enough of the old plumbing as well. Because, you know, in the Philippines, we only have one type of faucet, right? Because Europe has old plumbing. Even though staying in decent hotels, they still use the two faucet thing, and the hot side, you need to spin it counterclockwise, while the cold side, you need to spin it, you know, in the usual way, clockwise. And you know, the worst part was when we were in Luzern. So this was in Switzerland, and we stayed at a decent hotel. It was in the middle of the city, and we couldn't figure out how the faucet worked. I talked about the two type of faucets, but that faucet in the bathroom, because it's one faucet in the bathroom, now I remember. And then we were so used with the two faucet bathrooms that we couldn't figure out how to do the one faucet bathroom. Can you imagine that? And we went to the front office and they went up in our room and they couldn't even figure out how to do it. It was so frustrating. And on the last night that we were there, finally the cleaning lady was there and she just simply turned it on, like, oh, it works like the usual way. Like, it's just so funny that it had to be like that.
Yeah,
I didn't have that muscle memory to do it that way, so it kind of annoyed me. I know it's like super petty, but I didn't have that annoyance in my three other trips before, but this time I've had enough of it. So yeah, that's that. But writing this episode 2 weeks later from when I arrived, it actually subsided and I actually wanted to go back, but in a slower pace now. Another realization was that I mentioned earlier is I'm glad that I chose to live in Australia. Because of the reasons I mentioned, before this travel, I don't really go out much. I mean, I go out on the weekends, discover different places with my husband. But on an everyday basis, I didn't really immerse in it. So after this travel, I made some changes in my routine and tried out different things as well. I used to not go out of the apartment after I arrived from work and don't go out before work, as I felt it was so cumbersome. I'm that lazy. And then after this, I actually started rediscovering my neighborhood over again. I went out before work to try out a fitness class for free. I even signed up at the local gym to try out fitness classes and even went around to get chips at around 8 p.m. just because I was craving for it. before I would let the cravings die because I was too lazy to go out. So that trip really helped me look at my surroundings in a different light over again. I actually really liked my suburb, but I get so lazy to go outside most of the time. But now I seize that opportunity to immerse outside. So it's too cringy, right? Anyway, third realization is before arriving to the places you go, just really get to know the culture, especially in tipping, I guess. Because my husband is always really good at this, but I'm so bad at it. So I intend to do better next time. Because actually here in Australia, it's really not common to give tips, although it's actually starting now. I don't know why, but it's not really common or not expected. So I was so attuned to not tip here that I forgot that in Europe, you have to tip. So when we were at a bar in Hungary, I just paid without a tip and only realized afterwards that I should have done so. It was quite embarrassing, actually. I couldn't sleep that night. And the thing is, labor here in Australia is quite high and pretty decent. So people in the hospitality industry are still well paid in their own levels. There is an agreement called Enterprise Agreement, and according to the fairwork.gov.au website, an enterprise agreement is between one or more national system employers and their employees as specified in the agreement. Enterprise agreements are negotiated by the parties through collective bargaining in good faith, primarily at the enterprise level. So under the Fair Work Act of 2009, an enterprise can mean any kind of business activity, project, or undertaking. So most F&B attendants who are employed in a company, if not all, are part of that enterprise agreement and are in a union. So the union would negotiate their pay for them through this collective bargaining sessions. Anyway, there's a whole bunch of labor laws here, which I truly appreciate, unlike in other countries. Fourth realization is, of course, work. I felt refreshed, as we always do, right, after ample time off. That's why, Zesties, I really encourage you to take time off. 3 days is too short, so maybe a week or two would be an ample time. Go on vacation, even domestically. Immerse in a different place. So when you come back to your own place, you'll see it in a different lens, a much more appreciative one, or maybe a lesser appreciative one, I don't know. But for my case, for sure, it was more of an appreciative one. For those who would realize that they should move to the place they visited, go for it. And most of the time, actually, you realize what you have after being away from it. Absence makes your heart grow fonder, as they say. Which brings me to my fifth realization, paying more attention to the nuances of my neighborhood. Like, oh, we actually have a very nice park nearby. I should go to the park more often, or a nice coffee place nearby, or a gym nearby. Because before, if it's a 15-minute walk, Zesties, I would feel that that cafe or that gym is too far from my house. I know, I'm ridiculously lazy to go out. And I've been quite a hermit since both of my parents had health issues. It started in 2020, where my dad had a health scare and a life scare as well. So it was a terrible year, coupled by COVID. And then end of 2021, we discovered my mom had cancer and she died recently. So I was really a hermit at those times. And some of you who know me might see some pictures, but those were just some weekend excursions. But what I'm talking about is everyday life, not only the weekend life. So my everyday life would just revolve around work and sometimes the TV shows that I watch as a means to escape. I am a big escapist, really. That's how I cope, I guess. So I really became a hermit. I just spent loads of time on the internet watching YouTube videos. I still do now, of course, but I'm trying to make a conscious effort to divert myself of other things just to get to experience those instead of a digital experience. And although I started this podcast last year, I guess I would say I was still a bit of a hermit at that time because I stayed indoors a lot. Although I was able to start because my dad had a bit of an okay-ish situation last year. Then in 2021, my mother had cancer, etc. So 3 long years of really not fully living, you know. So I do hope that I would be able to sustain my appreciation about my surroundings, although I do acknowledge that there are different seasons in life. So Zesties, let us be reminded of this, that whatever season we may be in, know that there will be sunshine and rainbows at the end of the rain. Winter may be coming, but summer has arrived now, so gather as much sunshine you have for the dark days. So it might sound poetic, but true, right? And my sixth realization is to focus on myself. We have only one life. Try out experiences that are good for us. If you'd like to take up a new hobby that you've been eyeing on for a while, try it now if your means allow it. If you wanted a house, save up for it now. Things like that. Very, very easy to say, but hard to do, of course, and it's quite cliche as well. But that's why it's cliche, right? Because it usually works. I've been too focused on my problems that I didn't see the joy in other things, the nuances of everyday life. So how about you, Zesties? Where is your focus right now? You might want to look at other things around you, or maybe yourself, or maybe other aspects of your life. The seventh realization is that there isn't really enough time in the world, so we need to make time for what matters. Again, cliche, right? There's a saying that goes, you're not actually busy, you're just not making time. Which again is quite true. But since time is limited, you would have to apportion it accordingly to priority. This is the thing that I realized during the travel, but something that's still pretty hard to do. So again, another conscious effort to do it, which is fine. As long as we keep doing it consistently, the effort will be less and less, I guess. So speaking of which, that's why I realize I watch too much TV. I spend a lot of my time with it, and I always think that watching TV is so much relaxing for me. It really is though, but to a certain point. So I need to make a conscious effort to stop and maybe sleep early, watch a little less of YouTube and all. So it's a lot of effort, but that effort will be worth it over time. The eighth realization is that take different types of vacation. The educational one in Italy might be really good, but mix it up with a slow and relaxing one. And take mini breaks too. You know, ever since I left the Philippines, I never had a monthly or quarterly massage ever. I mean, it's quite expensive here, but I realized that I should do that from time to time, you know. Something that could make me really refreshed after a hard week or a hard month. So I'm not there yet, but this is something I really realized. So it shouldn't be only TV that should relax me all the time. But of course, things like massages would cost me. So maybe a good bushwalk would do, I guess. But actually now in Australia, there's La Nina, so it's quite rainy and cloudy. But I'm trying to think now of ways to take mini breaks that doesn't consist of watching TV. Overall, I think that the trip, albeit a challenging and hectic one, was what I actually needed in order to realize the things that I miss to see in my life right now. I would encourage you, Zesties, to do the same too. If a domestic or international travel might not be doable for you right now, maybe go on a staycation. Or if not possible to book a hotel, change up your routine a little bit. Go for a massage. Try out a gym for free, perhaps. You know, the trial period, you know, just try it. Because actually, just now, I got the courage to really try out the gym nearby. I have been eyeing on it for more than a year or so when they first set it up. And I thought that it was too expensive, blah, blah, blah. But I realized that I should try it now and see whether I like it or not. And at least I have tried something new. Nothing too grand, but nuanced. Nuanced enough for me to really experience the daily life out there. So yeah, how about you, Zesties? What were the things you realized during your travels? Share your thoughts on our Instagram, that's at Gleeful Talk Show, or send me a note to gleefultalkshow@gmail.com. Please don't forget to visit theambivertlife.com if you'd like to see more photos of the travels. I hope this episode resonated with you, and if you'd like to suggest a topic, please do reach out. Stay tuned next week.